final 2 weeks, 15th and 22nd, are hosted by Stephen Ziplocks Hennessy, educator, creator,
and part of the Ill Groove Garden team. Don't miss it.
Morning, Montreal. You are tuned to the Wednesday Morning After on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. We have a music magazine show for you today with four pre-recorded interviews, three in the first hour and a long shorty popping up in the second hour. The first interview is with Patrick Labbé about the Le Fuck Off's 8th edition. The second interview is with Gianni Bodo, whose new work includes Attends-moi dans l'ombre. The third interview is with Malta Leander of Cicada. Malta is releasing an EP called Taking Shapes. 8 a.m. brings Democracy Now!, 8:15 brings Weather, and at 8:18 we'll be joined by Sunglaziers with their new music. At 8:30 we'll visit the podcast called In the Shower with Taz and Marcus, where this week's question is, why do we cry when we're sad? After some more music, we'll wrap up the show. Let's start the day off with some music. 21st to 25th, Quebec City's premier alternative music festival, The Fuck Off, reinvents itself in groundbreaking fashion to present its eighth edition entirely in the Nowhere metaverse. Through showcases pre-recorded live on stage, music lovers will once again be able to discover the hidden gems of the Quebec and Franco-Canadian alternative music scenes, in addition to musical acts from Mexico and France. With us today, we have Patrick Labbé. Hi, Patrick, and welcome to the show.
Hey, Sheila. How are you?
First, please introduce yourself and tell us how you came to be involved in Le Fuck Off.
I'm an artist. First of all, I'm touring a lot with my band called Best Back in the Days. I started as a drummer in a punk, hardcore, metal band. What brought me to the festival, actually, I created it with my partner, Yannick, 8 years ago, 9 years ago. What brought us to create this event, actually, was the way we saw things moving on the industry. I started as a touring musician, actually. I was a drummer for a metal, punk, hardcore band called Never More Than Less, and I've been seeing the industry from within, from like the early 2000s to mid 2000s, and that brought me to think about what was wrong in that business and what we should do to improve it. I realized that bands that I was touring with and all the artists from Quebec or elsewhere in Canada that I was hanging with were never in the important music business, like conventions and festivals. So we were like, okay, there's something weird there. There's a symptom of something's not going, like being okay in this industry. So that brought me to Invent, actually. We created, me and my co-partner, Yannick, we invented the festival back in 2014, just to create an event where all the independent music industry could be there, hang around, network, talk about things that was wrong and try to improve it, and also have a scene to project to the rest of the music business what was really happening on the street. So that's basically what made me create the festival and what brought me there.
What is the history of the Fuck Off?
Well, the Fuck Off, like I said, it started with my own history. If we start from the first edition, like the first edition was just a night that we were planning to do with it's called the Fuck Off because we were doing something in a venue called Le Fuck, the seal in French, and off because it was an off event of a industry showcase event. So we just created a brand to promote that small night of music, and we had three bands that night, and we were trying to explain to promoters around the province and the country that were there that there was other ways to promote shows, there was other ways to see what's cool and what should be put up front in the industry. And that event went crazy. It was full, and there was a huge success, and all the bands that we presented that year finally kind of exploded in the months later. So that brought us to like exploding in a good way. Like they've been touring a lot with big bands and went from doing small shows, small venues with 20 people to headline big festivals in front of 25,000 people. So like it really, really blown that year. So all the producers, all the labels, everybody, all the music industry, like the independent music people were calling us and saying, hey, are you doing this that next year? And it was like, it was not the purpose of the event. It wasn't supposed to be a festival. It kind of became a festival by accident, you know. And that's because there was a demand for what we were doing, and we just like next year we just did it, but on three different nights. So we went from three bands to nine bands, and then the year after we were like 30 bands, and the year after 50, and the year after 100, you know. So it became a huge thing. in a maybe 5 or 6 years, and now we're at its 8th edition. Here we are, like in the metaverse, because of the local restrictions due from COVID. So,
what are some of the highlights of the festival this year, and who will be performing there?
Well, there's a bunch of artists. We have around 60 artists this year. I'd say one of the highlights, one of my personal favorite, is the event called Fanmi Se Fanmi. It's a multicultural event where we're trying to put different communities together and have a big party with world music, rock, grunge, hip hop, everything. Like, we have DJs and all, and people from very different communities. And Fanmi Se Fanmi means basically la famille c'est la famille, family is family. So it is an event where we just try to put families together and make people understand that we're all in this together. It's an event in for the Black History Month, so we have a lot of different multicultural communities coming to this event. So we're very proud of that, and that's one of my highlights. But also, I'm very proud of having many bands like such as Epiura that I really love, like very psych rock 60s vibe. Solipsis, Les Lunatiques. We have a lot of, I love the way we work our programming, actually. So we have been always very inclusive. So inclusive in all the sense that the word could take. So the sounds can go from metal and very death metal, extreme metal, to pop and funk and world. And we have like, there's sounds for everybody in our festival. So that's the highlight, I think. That's like, if you like music, or if you like one style of music, you might, actually you'll find something that you love, and you'll probably be surprised of what we've been matching it with. So that's one of our missions. So all nights are highlights to me. The Fanmi Se Fanmi night is probably one of my favorites.
What is the Nowhere Metaverse, and how does it present the festival in a unique and fun way?
What's the Nowhere Metaverse? That's a good question. I don't know if you guys know Metric and Nine Inch Nails and all those bands. Those are bands that I love and that I've been looking at for the last, I don't know, 20 years or more, even. People working on their shows live before the pandemic, called the Windmill Factory. It's a live immersive creation crew. Like they produce visuals to create immersion in live events. When the pandemic struck, they decided to try to explore what we could do, but in a virtual way. This small idea became the Nowhere Metaverse. Nowhere is actually the only metaverse I've seen yet that has the potential to create a real feel. It doesn't just have the potential, but it has it. So like, normally a metaverse, you are in an avatar and you just move around and see 3D fake worlds. But in Nowhere, since you are your own avatar, like it's your actual camera, your actual voice and sound that is implemented into what we call a pod. So it's basically, let's imagine it as a small flying saucer where your camera is on it. So it's a vertical flying saucer where it projects your camera video and your sound, and the closest you are to somebody, the more you hear it, that person speak. The closest you are to a stage, the more you hear the music also. So the feel is such like lifelike, I think. Like this is the first time I've seen something really connecting people for real through something virtual. And that's why we went with them. Like it's such unique and like it's so innovative, you know. I've never seen something like that before, and I've tried a lot of different metaverse, but this one is made to create. Like, we have that vision as artists and musicians and festival creators to actually try to connect. Like, that's what we do. We always want to connect people together and connect the artists with people, and mostly connect people together, connecting with an artist. That's the whole point of a live show, you know? And that's where most of the art is at its best. Normally, you feel things differently when you live it with others. And we wanted to keep that alive, even though we were going virtual. And that platform, that metaverse, was the perfect solution to us. And they have the same vision than us, since they're coming from the music live industry also. So we have the same thinking. We are the same kind of artist that wants to create true events, even though it's virtual. So that's why it's so fun. That's why it's so wow. Like, you enter that metaverse in the show, in our festival, it's kind of, you really feel like being there with your friends and being at the big, big, big festival there with a huge, huge stage, huge sound, a lot of people. Like, the feel is very lookalike.
May we hear some music as a taste of the festival?
Yeah, for sure.
This is Epigram on the Wednesday Morning After. When is the Fuck Off taking place?
Fuck Off this year is taking place from February 21st to 25th in the metaverse. So it's available everywhere in the world. Tickets are available on Fuck Off, PHOQUEOFF.com. So fuck like a seal in French. It's taking place, well, we're doing it in Quebec City, like it is normally. It will be available from everywhere, and people from Quebec City anyways won't be in the shows, so they will have the same experience as everybody.
May we hear some more of your music?
Yeah, for sure.
This is Francoise on CKUT. If our listeners want more information or to buy tickets to the festival, the Fuck Off, where should they go?
All tickets are available at the pointofsale.com or on our website at fuckoff.com. Fuck like a seal, PHOQUEOFF.com. It's available until the end of the festival. So you have two different ways of being in the metaverse. You have the first way is to actually get your week badge. So it will give you access to all the shows of all the week. It's only $28. It's more than 60 bands playing there. If not, if you want to see only one night and try it out, it's only $10 per night. So you go there, you take your weekly or daily badge, and you'll get your link through email, and then you click on it and you'll pop in our metaverse for that day. So hope you enjoy that.
Well, thank you for your interview today.
Thank you, Shayla. Thank you very much.
You've been listening to Patrick Labbé speaking about Le Fuck Off. I'm your host, Sheila Ferrando.
Tune in to CKUT 90.3 FM. Tuesdays, 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. for a special Black History Month edition of the Montreal Sessions. The month kicks off on February 1st with the best in reggae and soca with your hosts, Production Sounds and Soca Head. Week 2, February 8th, Wizzy Moonchaser, host of The Morning Detour, broadcast live from DG Kicks, a sneaker store in NDG. Final 2 weeks, 15th and 22nd, are hosted by Stephen Ziplocks Hennessy, educator, creator, and
and part of the Ill Groove Garden team. Don't miss it.
Montreal-born singer-songwriter Gianni Bodo has been writing, recording, and performing music over two decades. Master of sound, a crossbreed of rock, pop, and indie, Gianni delivers in music and lyrics, heightened atmospheres, and heartfelt descriptions of inner and outer worlds. With us today, we have Gianni Bodo. Hi, Gianni, and welcome to the show.
Hi, Sheila. I'm so happy to be here.
First, please introduce yourself and tell us how you came to be a music producer.
Well, my name is Gianni Bodo. I write, record, and perform music. Less of a producer. I count on other people more to do that part of the work now. It's a little bit of a, it's like the dirty part of the work. So I'm taking my distances from producing and concentrating more on writing songs and lyrics. And I came about, I've been doing this for as long as I can remember. It's part of my fiber, it's part of my being. Music is my oxygen, and if I don't write, if I'm not recording music or working on music in some capacity, that would mean that I'm dead.
What is your formal background as a musician?
I've always loved music. Since as a child, I have memories of music blowing my mind since I'm 7, 8, 9. But I actually only started playing music a little later. I'm self-taught, and I started writing songs, pretty much as soon as I started playing a musical instrument, and never looked back.
Who are your bandmates and collaborators, and what does every one player do?
I've been working with so many people in recent years. I'll mention my producer first, my producer and drummer, which is Frédéric Bouchard. He's like a musical genius. He understands music like very few people, and he's worked with Adam Cohen and so many different other artists, and I'm so privileged to have him on board, and he takes care of the production side of things these days. I have my guitarist, Albie, and he just has one name, like U2's Edge. He's been playing guitar for so long. He's played with so many different artists. There's actually a story, or I don't know if it's just a real story or a legend, that he almost made it as a guitarist for Duran Duran. I also have a Bridget Pace, which is a fantastic singer on her own merit that does a lot of vocals for me in studio and live. And she's a great artist, as I said, on her own. And been lucky enough to have some famous contributors to my music. I have a great friend in Pierre Marchand, who's a Juno Award winning producer who's produced every single album of a person called Sarah McLachlan. He's co-written Building a Mystery and so many other songs with Sarah. And another friend called Colin Devlin from an Irish band called The Devlins, who's a Grammy nominated artist as well. And he contributes quite regularly on my music, whenever I need. So privileged on that end.
You have a current single called Attends-moi dans l'ombre. What is the story behind this song?
Attends-moi dans l'ombre is my most current French single. And Attends-moi dans l'ombre is, pretty much is a guy looking for his place in the world, going in the direction of his dreams. And we've got a video on YouTube and it tells that story. And it's just a simple story. There's this, the main protagonist has an umbrella in the sun, which is kind of his armor from the storms of life. And he's making his way through the world with a nice old fashioned compass to try to figure out where he belongs. So, it's a great story. You can maybe, get the visuals to it on YouTube.
Let's talk about the Italian release of Attends-moi dans l'ombre that's coming up.
Well, the funny thing is that the Italian version came before the French version. I've been performing the Italian version for a while now. Even had the opportunity to perform it at Place Belle in Laval with a crowd of 10,000 people. I was opening up for this Italian legend called Claudio Baglioni. I'm getting So since, you know, we've recorded the French version, we made a video for the same song in Italian. I'm presenting it to Italy the next coming weeks. And we've been fortunate enough to get a world premiere on Radio Delta One, which would be the equivalent of the CBC or in Canada, or the BBC in England. So I'm looking forward to that.
May we hear some of your music?
Sure, I'd love to.
This is Attends-moi dans l'ombre on the Wednesday morning after.
Y a des jours où l'on se sent si seul au monde, mais parfois le silence fait plus de ravages qu'une tempête qui rage. Si le vent pouvait seulement souffler quelques mots à ta place, à ta place, à ta place. Attends-moi dans l'ombre, attends-moi dans l'ombre. Se cache quelque part la lumière qui n'y a jamais. Attends-moi dans l'ombre, car demain je reviens. Attends-moi dans l'ombre, car demain je reviens. Il y a des rêves qu'il faut savoir abandonner, car une étincelle pour faire prendre le feu. Faut croire que le temps apaisera mes traqueurs. À ta place, à ta place, à ta place. Attends-moi dans l'ombre, attends-moi dans l'ombre. Je sais que se cache quelque part la lumière qui n'y a jamais. Attends-moi dans l'ombre. Quelque part, je sais qu'elle se cache quelque part. Attends-moi dans l'ombre, attends-moi dans l'ombre. Je sais qu'elle se cache. Lumière qui n'y a jamais. Attends-moi dans l'ombre, car demain je reviens. Attends-moi dans l'ombre, car demain je reviens. Attends-moi dans l'ombre, car demain je reviens. Attends-moi dans l'ombre, car demain.
You have a second single coming out called Hurricanes and Butterflies. What is the process you went through producing this song?
Well, Hurricanes and Butterflies was actually, is already released. It was released in December. And Hurricanes and Butterflies is the second release of the same song. We released the original version of Hurricanes and Butterflies at the beginning of the pandemic. And it was initially kind of, without being about the pandemic, it was set in the atmosphere of that time. I had sent the tracks to Pierre Marchand, which I spoke about before, so that he could play along on the song, and he did some great keyboard and piano tracks that are on the original version. But what he did is that he also sent us a great piano track. And I thought, when I heard it, I said, we should make another version. The first version was really a bombastic full band version with orchestra. And I said, we should make another stripped down version with just kind of like my voice and Pierre's piano, because it's just so beautiful. And we thought we would release that shortly after, and it didn't end up quite that way. We released the piano acoustic version a year later, and really, really, it's a beautiful song to me anyhow. And we also filmed the video for acoustic version, the piano version of Hurricanes and Butterflies, and it's a beautiful concept. You can check that out on YouTube. I want to do a shout out to my boys at Cafe Felice, because they let me film the video in their coffee shop, and it's a really complex process where the two main protagonists, which is myself and a singer that I spoke to about previously, Bridget Pace. We're being filmed in super slow motion, singing the song, and everybody else just going about their business. But when we sped the film back up, and it gives this illusion of us being in another dimension. It was a crazy process, and it just came out. It was just a beautiful video to accompany this, you know, really soft song that I'm really proud of.
May we hear some more of your music?
Yeah, I'd love that.
This is Hurricanes and Butterflies on CKUT.
It was just another day, much like yesterday. On a tall white rose, a butterfly, it fluttered for a while. Then I heard it on the news that it's all about to change, and there's nothing we can do but close our eyes and let it through. And the hurricane, it came. We never thought it'd come this way. This love was swept away, but I'm still chasing butterflies, 'cause I believe that flowers don't die. Not a sign for us to see that we have lost our way. But I still wanted to pretend. Then I heard it on the news that it's all about to change, and there's nothing we can do. Close our eyes and let it through. And the hurricane, it came. We never thought it'd come this way. Love was swept away, but I'm still chasing butterflies, 'cause I believe that flowers don't die. And nothing matters anymore, there's no one out there keeping score. Would you hold my hand a while, until the storm has passed us by? The hurricane, it came. We never thought it'd come this way. This love was swept away, but I'm still chasing butterflies, 'cause I believe the flowers don't die.
If our listeners want some free listening time or to buy your music, where should they go?
My music is available in all platforms, whether it be iTunes, Spotify, Apple Music, you know, a lot of, and most of it's on YouTube as well. We're still releasing new stuff all the time. I hope people can connect with it. And that's what, as an artist, there's, you know, you make music for yourself, and it's a privilege when other people come to you and say, hey, I connected with your song. It made me feel something. And that's what we do.
Thank you for your interview today.
It's my pleasure, Sheila. It's a privilege for me to be CKUT.
You've been listening to Gianni Bodo speaking about his music. I am your host, Sheila Ferrando. The upcoming Taking Shapes is Cicada's most substantial project to date, being his first full-fledged English project. Malta, being trilingual, decided to create an English album to reach a bigger audience, but also as a form of personal growth as an artist. Today we have Malta Leander of Cicada. Hi, Malta, and welcome to the show.
Hello, Sheila. Thank you for having me on.
First, please introduce yourself and tell us how you came to be involved in Cicada.
Sure thing. Yeah, well, Cicada is my artist project that I've been active with since 2017. It's a project, a way for me to channel thoughts and creativity and, you know, issues and ideas in everyday life through songwriting, beat making, and performance. That's my project behind the album, Taking Shapes. That is, as you mentioned, also my debut album. I've had a couple of EP projects and singles since 2017 up to date. But this is, as you mentioned, the most substantial project so far.
What is your background as a musician?
I have quite a mixture, I would say. I mean, I got the music running in the veins, in my blood from my family. So I would say that I've had it around me since forever. I started off with guitar for a bit as a kid, singing came next. And apart from that, I've done musical education or music as my education since 2015 in a variety of contexts. I am originating from Sweden, so I've done both studies and music projects back there in Sweden and now Canada since a few years back. Cicada is one of my projects, but I also work with other types of sounds and music. I finish off my studies in electroacoustics, where I make soundscapes for moving image or more sort of electronic and ambient compositions as well. So it's kind of a mixture of a lot of different things.
Who are your collaborators and what did everyone do?
Cicada has been mostly a solo project and continues to be so. Taking Shapes has two other producers apart from myself. I mean, I write and produce most of my own music. On two of the tracks, I've collaborated with other producers, one being together with Scarp V and Caesar, and then also a good friend of mine called Slacking Beats, who has done one of the tracks on the album as well. And they're all situated in Sweden, so it's collaborations with Swedish beatmakers.
You're releasing a single called Tall Grass. What is the story behind this song?
Well, so Tall Grass is the most recent song that has come out of this project and also the second single from Taking Shapes before the actual album is landing. Tall Grass is sort of a reflection upon the thoughts and feelings of just losing track, losing yourself in the dynamics of life and the sort of roller coaster of that goes, the ups and downs that I think we're all experiencing. So it's kind of painting this picture of losing yourself in the tall grass or not being able to see the road ahead of you, but also sort of sinking down and not being able to keep your head above the surface or losing yourself in a big forest and not being able to find your way out. So different reflections upon the feelings of sort of getting lost and not knowing how to move forward from that.
May we listen to some of your music?
For sure. Absolutely.
This is Tall Grass on the Wednesday Morning After.
Conversations with my angel and my devil. One's talking sense, the other's talking gibberish. But how do I know who's right and what to make of it? Always something on my schedule. I'm blinded by my greed, appreciate essentials. Focus on what's true, what's right. I'm down to the core, fuck darkness, seek light. I've been blinded for way too long. Ready to change, ready to change. I've been blinded for way too long. So many days I wanna grow as the tree, get free as the bird, up and away, up and away. I'm in my old track, something's gotta change, cause I'm stuck in my ways, stuck in my ways. Yeah, and I can't get up. Yeah, trying to get up. Get up, get up. I'm no longer in control, I'm just trying to stay afloat. I'm beneath the surface, can't reach up.
What can listeners expect from the Taking Shapes project?
Well, it is an 8-track album. It's a mix and mishmash of, I would say, a different array of genres of sort of electro pop, contemporary R&B, and hip hop, both in the productions and in the vocal performances that I'm putting on this project, and also a combination of different feelings and emotions, I would say, combination of sad, longing, and hopeful, mixed with humorous elements and playfulness, which is something that I'm trying to incorporate in all of my projects, and I think is a staple for Cicada as well. It's sort of a specialty, I would say, to keep the childishness and playfulness present in what I'm trying to do, both in beat making and in my vocal performances as well.
One of the songs from Taking Shapes is Chameleon. What was the process you took producing this song?
Well, as I mentioned, the album consists of 8 songs, a couple of them with collaborators, and this particular one, Chameleon, is produced by Scarp V and Caesar. So shout outs to them, two really talented beat makers from Sweden that I've had my eye on for a while, so I'm happy to be able to do something upon their production. I mean, it's something just hearing a melody line or a musical excerpt that can sort of trigger a song idea instantly when you have it yourself, and I think a lot of musicians can relate to that. And this is what happened in the instance of Chameleon, that I heard a short snippet of this beat that Scarp V posted on his Instagram story, and I knew instantly that it sort of was something that I wanted to do something upon or collaborate with. So I went ahead and purchased that production from him. And that song then is about sort of what the title implies upon being able to adapt to one's environment. Being a chameleon is something that I can sort of relate myself to. I've only lived in Montreal for just over 3 years now. And as I mentioned before, I lived in Sweden, or I grew up in Sweden and lived there up until a few years ago. So it is sort of describing that feeling or that longing of being able to adapt to different environments. So I still feel like I'm doing that, settling in and finding my own ways of building a foundation.
May we listen to some more of your music?
Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead.
This is Chameleon on CKUT.
Cicada. Whoa. Yeah. I'm a chameleon. See my color changes. See what you be feeding from. A lust for you be fading. Ooh, a chameleon. Ready for a change. Yeah, yeah. Stir it up. Old colors never fade, nah. A chameleon, yeah, I'm blending in. Yeah, mix it up, these tones are coming from within. A chameleon, colors like the rainbow. Without these nuances, I wouldn't have the same glow. Wet paint, this is slippery. Playing with the fate of what is meant to be. Check my destiny, what is written in the stars. Whoa. Talking about astrology, this tour is going hard.
To the current, or what has been. I can adapt, I can handle most things. Try me in down or uphill, I'm sure to melt down.
Chameleon, check my tendencies. Yeah, yeah, keeping it organically. Whoa, whoa. Staying true to the roots, even overseas. Not a straight path, I'll get there eventually. Yeah, I know that I'm vain. Cosmetic. This from top to toe, yeah, I care for the aesthetic. Dressing up to reflect, dressing up to impress. These are stains from the dye, it adds up to the effect. Cause I'm here to set a brand, I'm here to make a mark. But this shit is permanent. The stuff you can't wash off, so don't try to transform. I'm taking different shapes, might be far from home. Still, the candle on the cake.
To the current, or what has been, I can't adapt, I can handle more things. Try me in down or uphill, I'm sure to melt in. I've seen places, yeah, I can't comply. No one or two things on how to get by. Try me in head or tailwind, I'm sure to melt in.
If our listeners want some free listening time or to buy your music, where should they go?
I would say that Instagram is the easiest way to get news of my upcoming stuff, and follow Cicada as a musical project, and just tune into the album that is coming next month. There will also be some juicy visual stuff coming up soon relating to that project. So my handle there is @Cicada, that is CIKA.DA. But otherwise, for my already released music, where there's a bunch of different projects, both in Swedish and French, and now in English, you can find Cicada on any streaming platform that you prefer. Yeah.
Thank you for your interview today.
Thanks to you, Sheila. Thanks for having me on and letting me talk about this.
You've been listening to Malte Leander speaking about Cicada's music. I am your host, Sheila Ferrando.
Faced with sickle cell anemia, the solution is in our blood. It's a matter of genetics. The more people from the Black communities who give blood, the better our chances to find compatible donors to help those affected by this disease. Faced with sickle cell anemia, we can't leave anyone behind. We have to donate. So don't wait. Book an appointment today at hemequebec.qc.ca, because giving is in our blood.
Hi, Hi, I'm Amy Goodman. This month, Democracy Now! Is celebrating our 26th anniversary. That's 26 years of bringing you the stories and voices you won't hear anywhere else. We maintain our editorial independence thanks to you. Please donate today at democracynow.org and help us stay on the air for decades to come. Thank you so much. And remember, wearing a mask is an act of love. From New York, this is Democracy Now!
Withholding money or seizing money from the people against them in that name is unjust and unfair and an atrocity against the Afghan people.
President Biden's facing mounting pressure for seizing $7 billion of Afghanistan's Federal Reserves frozen in the United States. Biden's giving half the money to families of September 11th victims while Afghanistan faces a humanitarian catastrophe. We'll speak with the founders of a new group called Unfreeze Afghanistan and a woman who lost her son in the World Trade Center attack. She says the money should stay in Afghanistan. Plus, we go to Texas, where early voting's begun in the state's closely watched March 1st primary. It's the first election since Texas passed a highly restrictive voting law. We'll speak with the head of Common Cause Texas, as well as congressional candidate Greg Cesar, who just picked up endorsements from Bernie Sanders and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
When we were working to take care of people during the pandemic, and people like Governor Abbott and his cronies were working on discriminating and banning abortions and targeting our families.
Plus, we get the latest on the crisis on the Russia-Ukraine border. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Russia's defense ministry says it's withdrawing some of its troops from near Ukraine's border in a sign the Kremlin may be de-escalating the threat of an invasion. The announcement came as German Chancellor Olaf Scholz arrived in Moscow for meetings with Russian President Vladimir Putin, and as Russia's top diplomat said, the prospect of a diplomatic solution is, quote, far from exhausted. At the United Nations,